Good morning. We now have our first interview for the program, and we're very happy to have Sue Bull on the program, who is one of the national co-conveners of Socialist Alliance, but she's also has formerly worked in the construction industry as a health and safety trainer. And so we have Sue Bull on the program to really talk about the attacks on the CFMEU, which is, I think, a very kind of important political moment within politics right now. And good morning, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah. To kind of start off, Socialist Alliance just released a statement in solidarity with the CFMEU. In the statement, you describe the political media onslaught against the CFMEU as the biggest attack it has faced since it has formed in 1992. What can you tell us about it, including attempts to deregister the CFMEU?
Oh, yes, okay. Maybe just a little bit of background. I mean, the CFMEU came about in 1992 as a reformation after the Builders Labour's Federation had been deregistered in the early 80s by a Labour government, actually. And what had happened is that the union had been accused of very similar sorts of things that's being accused of now, corruption, standover tactics, etc. And the whole construction industry had united against the BLF, but eventually over time there'd been a reformation which became the CFMEU, which was pretty much at that time almost all of the construction unions uniting together. And it became a very strong union with a very, very strong health and safety focus, and also extremely united in terms of going for better wages and so on. And it was during a period of a building boom, a really big building boom, that the CFMEU came together. In Victoria, it's remained probably the strongest union that perhaps, definitely in the country. And it's really united its members to fight for much better pay and conditions than we've ever seen before. But it's also had a massive impact upon the death and injury rates throughout the industry. Victoria, in fact, has actually managed to push its fatality rates down quite low. But, of course, the whole time it's been seen as a leader within the trade union movement, and therefore a real challenge to every government since the early 2000s. And so now what we're seeing is another onslaught against the union. But this time, instead of using deregistration proceedings, you know, they may be there as a big stick at the back, or royal commissions, or the setting up of the industry COP, which was called the Australian Building and Control Commission. Now what we see is an attempt to smear the union with allegations particularly of corruption. And so that's being used as a weapon, if you like, against the union to bring in state intervention. But that's a bit of the background to what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah. So this, getting into the next question, and I think also Comrade Zane, who's a co-presenter and a CFMU member, might also have something to add as well. But there's been all these sort of accusations of corruption against the CFMU. In fact, this is sort of the main line that the kind of media is sort of playing to undermine support for the union. And of course, one of the issues with this is, there is a clear kind of double standard from the government and the media when you compared to how they treat bosses in the building industry.
Well, first of all, you've got to understand that this is an industry that makes multi-billion dollar profits and always has. All of the biggest projects in Australia today, the workers on them are construction workers, and they, in the main, are members of the CFMEU. So it's a really tough industry. It's an industry that everybody wants to get into, whether you're a worker or whether you're a boss. everyone wants to find a way in. And certainly for the bosses, there are huge profits to be made. So there have always been allegations, and in actual fact, there have always been a lot of crooks within the industry. They tend to try and make money really quickly and then, you know, move on to the next project and just keep their profits at the highest level they possibly can. They cut corners. They treat people like dirt. They treat their workers like dirt. And that's been a feature of the industry since the year dot. So I think there's always been criminality within the construction industry, and we know of endless cases, and Dane would know of some too. They're terrible cases of where union organisers have been bashed by gangsters, frankly, and where people have been threatened and so on. So that's where it operates. So to win better pay and conditions, the group that represents the workers has to be a tough organisation. Mm. You can't just ask the boss to improve your safety and then hope it's going to happen. There actually has to be united action and tough action against bosses to make them do this. And that's where a lot of these allegations come from. Is there corruption in the industry? Yes. Has the union been part of it? I don't know. Some of the allegations may be true, they may not, but that is not actually the feature, the critical feature of the CFMU. The critical feature is that it has built a very strong united organisation that will not just sit back and die when the boss says go away.
Hmm. Yeah, something I found really infuriating about that coverage from Fairfax 9 is the extent to which they refuse to show that context. So there was those two CFMEU organisers who went on a safety inspection of a job in Hawthorne, I believe, in 2020. They were violently attacked by developer thugs. Why would you not include that in the story? This provides important context as to why, as you say, the CFMEU is obligated to provide people who are tough enough to stand their ground when they are faced with intimidation and physical violence from developer thugs. It would not have been hard for the Fairfax 9 coverage to at least mention that political context, but they refuse to do so. And I think it's not just because they're a bunch of privileged scumbag journalists who've never worked in the construction industry and aren't aware of that stuff. I think it was an editorial choice for them to leave that important context out. And you can't have an honest discussion if you want to ignore that factor. And the safety issue that you mentioned, like my experience, which is not insubstantial working in the construction industry, is that WorkSafe is toothless and useless. And I've been to CFMEU branch meetings. I've been a member for 10 years. And CFMEU officials would say, oh, WorkSafe is useless. We are the only game in town. And that didn't align with what I was taught at trade school. I was taught that WorkSafe is a tough cop on the beat. But without going into too much detail, my experience in the industry is that, in fact, no. CFMEU have been telling the truth that WorkSafe is useless. And if you want to wait less than like 5 or 10 years to have a safety issue addressed, then the union is the only way to get that addressed. And for that to be left out of the coverage from Nine Fairfax is just unforgivable.
Yep, I agree, Zane. Yep. I agree.
Next kind of question I want to get into is I think there's probably two separate questions here because the question is about, you know, sense entities that are in sense a bit separate. But what are your comments on the ACTU and the Labor Party's position in response to the attacks on the CFMEU?
Okay, well, let's look at Labor first of all, because this is really being led by Labor. I think that they first of all agreed to get rid of the ABCC, and that's been a bone of contention for the Liberals and for the bosses ever since they agreed to do that and ever since they did that. Now, the ABCC was not a body set up to investigate corruption. It was a body looking at, it was a political body being used to enforce laws that were trying to make it next to impossible for unions like the CFMEU to organise. They were trying to stop organisers from going on site. It's not that our members are weak and couldn't try and address lots of issues, but they needed the leadership of their union to help them fight really intransigent bosses in many situations. So the ABCC was set up to try and stop that. So the union over the years had found ways around some of the blockages that the ABCC had put there. And frankly, the ABCC was not playing a role. But the Liberals have used that as an example of how you could, you know, really clamp down on the building industry. So in this process, there's been huge criticism, first of all, of the fact that supposedly the union's been running riot. And secondly, especially in Victoria, there's been massive overruns on the infrastructure jobs. Nothing to do with the union, by the way. It's actually been to do with all sorts of reasons. But certainly the problems have been between the bosses and the government, not in actual fact with the union. There's been massive cost overruns. And it's one of the reasons why the Victorian government's in serious strife at the moment, economically. So I think there's been all this pressure, and in the process they need a scapegoat on the one hand, but also they need to stop the leadership that the CFMEU has shown to other workers about if you put on a united fight, you can win. So I think that's where the pressure's been coming from, in actual fact. It's been bubbling away. As we go into a federal election, and, you know, everybody knows we're probably going to go into an early election, the Albanese government's looking for some way that they can actually take the heat off themselves, made to be look as if they're doing something about this supposed rogue union, and all their detractors will actually then, you know, more or less be told to shut up. Meanwhile, the ACTU, we've seen this so clearly over the last decade, they will do anything to get Labor re-elected. And if smashing the most important union in the country is the way to get Labor re-elected, they're prepared to do that. They're also smarting because there has been an ongoing dispute between John Setka and the leadership of the ACTU and a number of other unions. So that's been bubbling away. Unfortunately, I believe, to the CFMEU's detriment, because that's now being used. The role of John Setka is now being used against the union, when in actual fact it's got very little to do with the political nature of this attack. So I think that this is collusion between the ACTU and the ALP and a number of others. Like, if the CFMEU falls, then the AWU, the union that covered some workers in the civil construction area, will benefit. And they, sadly, are very happy to go for lower wages, poorer wage conditions, and to go along pretty much with what the boss wants. So I think that's the scenario we're facing at the moment.
Hello there, this is Rob. I read the Herald Sun because I want to know what the ruling class wants workers to think. Setka is hardly somebody that is defendable. I mean, he's really appalling. But when the Herald Sun makes a big deal out of Setka, it completely obscures what this whole issue is all about. And you've said it as well, and I'm in a way just repeating what you said. This is all about not Setka. It's all about the right to unionism, the right of workers to defend themselves against the brutal system of capitalism. And the thing is, the right to unionism is important for us, because how else are we going to defend ourselves as workers against this brutal system?
Yeah, that's right.
Zane, you want to make a comment?
Well, another link that I would like, this is very, there's a whole lot of tangents that you can go on here. One of the links that I would like to draw is that we've spoken about corruption and thuggery from property developers and the contractors that they use. Another link that I'd like to draw here, where smashing the CFMEU is pretty convenient for certain vested interests is the relationship between state Labor governments and property developers. And state governments of both stripes, Liberal and Labor, going back decades, because it's state governments rather than federal that handle approvals of building projects and that sort of handle a lot of the regulation of the industry. So back, I'm from Newcastle originally, there was a campaign over 25 years to stop property developers very openly trying to force the state government in New South Wales to sell off the last busiest 2 kilometres of the Newcastle rail line so that property developers could build on that line. In 2012, ICAC did an investigation into this Newcastle property developer, Jeff McCloy, who was found to have been handing out completely illegal bribes to Liberal Party politicians. He was walking around giving out 10 bags of brown, literally brown paper bags of $10,000 to Liberal politicians. What consequence has Jeff McCloy faced? Did the government send administrators into his company to root out corruption? No. If you're a corporation and you engage in this, there is zero consequence. And there are many other examples. James Packer, Crown Casino, they were found to have organised crime coming in there, washing their money through the casino. Were administrators sent in to take over the operation of Crown Casino? Absolutely not. Did James Packer face any consequences for that? Well, he was made to sell his share. So the double standards here are absolutely infuriating. And if the CFMEU gets smashed, gee, it's going to be pretty handy for all those property developers, isn't it, to be operating in an environment that no longer has a strong construction union.
Yeah, that's correct, Zane. I mean, that's really part of the problem that we're facing. Now, on the one hand, there's so much criticism about the heavy-handedness of the union, the macho profile, and, you know, all the things that are, you know, some of the things that are associated with John Secker. But really, sadly, that's window dressing for what the real problem is. I'm not saying that there aren't problems, because there are. But I am saying that we've got to, for the moment, really look at the main game, which is to destroy unionism in this country and to destroy the leadership of the union that's actually inspired many workers to say, no, well, I don't have to accept this. So that's the real problem that we're facing. All the other issues are important, but to get hung up on, you know, John Secker himself is going to mislead us in terms of fighting back against what's actually going on. Remember, it's Labor governments that do this. Here's the bizarre thing. The worst things that are done to workers in the main, the softening up, is actually always done by Labor. And then when Labor loses the next election, or whenever they do, the Liberals come in and really go to town. So in actual fact, the Liberals do the worst, but Labor always does this softening up.
Yep.
And I just think we're heading into really dangerous territory.
Yeah, and I want to get, we've probably got to wrap up this interview now, so I thought I would get into the kind of final question where you can also make some final comments as well, but I think this question kind of links into kind of final comments. What is your comments on why the left and the entire union movement needs to unite in opposing these attacks on the CFMEU? And and any kind of final comments you might want to add on top of that?
Well, I mean, I think, okay, first of all, I think it would be a real mistake for the union movement that supports the CFMEU to just put this into the courts. If we just put it into the courts, it will take it out of the hands of workers to fight back. So I think we need a public campaign, and we've done it in the past. Like, right back when the BLF was deregistered, we had a group called Defend the Unions, Defend the BLF. And that group, which is a community group, of all unions and all lefties, actually went out there and did everything they could to support the union. And that was a contributing factor in bringing groups together to reform the CFMEU. And I think that's what we need. We need a campaign led by CFMEU activists, which unites everybody who sees this as a really dangerous step, and we actually campaign publicly. I think that's what we really need, and we need to do it now on the basis of the right of unions to elect their own leadership and be free from state intervention.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, I think that was a really good way to end that interview. Thank you once again, Sue Bull, for coming on the show, and for listeners just tuning in. We were just talking to Sue Bull about the attacks on the CFMEU. Thanks, Sue, for your time.
Thank you.
I think we'll just go to a song before our next interview, The Death of Neoliberalism.